Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 494. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. All you need to do is tell her whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free. I've got some real good songs for you today. I've got letters. And I've got some Bible reading. And a very strong commentation for you. I like to commentate. All right? I like to meditate. I like to commentate. All right? So right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this message tonight on this program. And to anoint everything, Father, that's being done. Anoint every reader. Anoint the music. Open up. Anoint my message. Anoint the commentary that I have that you give me. And let it be the message, Lord, that you want from before the foundation of the earth, that souls can be saved and the church strengthened. Lord, we thank you for doing this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, and here I am, Tony Alamo, to sing for you, along with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, My God is Real.
I may not know. There are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. My God is real. Real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like your gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. For God is real and I can feel Him in my heart. My God is real. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like your gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
I'm sorry, I made a boo-boo. That wasn't J.D. Sumner and the Stamps. They're going to be backing me up on the last song. What that was the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation Orchestra and Choir. All right, and I mentioned to you before that a lot of people say that there's no falling away. That you can tell these people when they're singing that they're born again of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus. And I would say it. Probably 80 to 90% of them fell away from the Lord. And the Bible states that this is a sign of the end time, that there's going to be a great falling away from the Lord in the last days. And, you know, to me, there was a woman that was in our church. She'd come and visit every so often. And she stated that if Mama is not in heaven, I do not want to be there. I don't want to go to heaven if Mama's not there. And so she had backslidden several times. And this one time that she backslid, she went to some beer joint and was got real drunk. She had on a red dress and matching red high-heel shoes and had herself all decked up and dolled out and gussied up and dropped many beers down her neck and passed out behind the jukebox, and she had a vision of hell. And she said that it was so horrible that she would have walked in her mama's face to get out of there. If mama wants to go to hell, then she can go to hell, but I do not want any part of it. You know, if mama wants to go there, if she's going to be there, I don't want to be there. And she says that she had these real high heel steel heels there, and she says, I'd have punched my mother's eyes out to get out of that place. And so, people want to go to hell. If people don't care anything about going to heaven, they will go to hell. And so we have to watch it very much. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the common soldier, we're talking about all different things here. The common soldier, I remember when I was in the Navy, the only thing I wanted to do was get my paycheck. I wasn't there, and I didn't see anybody there that was really diligent of a sailor. They were all playing cards or shooting dice or just laying around sleeping all day long. And I thought, my God, this government is really something. They just use the taxpayers' money. And they had like four or five, six different kinds of meat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and all kinds of desserts. I'd never seen that much food in my whole life. And I just wanted to go out on leave, you know, to go out for a few hours out in San Diego or over to Mexico, where most of the people go. And so the common soldier ordinarily looks no higher than his paycheck. That's what they really want. This is it that draws him into the service. Today there's so many people that are broke. They've broken the United States of America to the point where people want to go to get all that good food and to go overseas. If they have to go overseas, they will. But the main thing they're going there for is their paycheck. Some people say, yeah, I want to get, you know, win this war. This is what gets him. But the thing that gets him into the field or into the war is that paycheck, the almighty dollar. Yet they make themselves traitors by assisting him. That leads them on against their own prince. So what they do is they go to war, but they're just playing dice, playing cards, and it's like Pearl Harbor when it came. Nobody could believe, you know, that I thought we were on vacation in here. I thought that we were, that there would be no such thing as war, but it happened. It's not going to serve anybody that turns on their boss to take a paycheck and not do anything for it. But the service used to give money, not much. We didn't get very much at all. But it was better than being outside. All these people are saying, we're starving to death out here. And there isn't... it's better to be in the Army, Navy, Marines, or now the International Army, or Navy, or Marines. Because they will dethrone the United States of America. Ahab sold himself, quote, to work evil in the sight of the Lord. 1 Kings 21:20. And yet, when we study, we read not that he made any sort of express covenant with the devil. It doesn't say that. But the meaning is still the same. He did that which, in effect, announced to everyone, if you read it in the Bible, no less. We know that if he sinned, he should pay his soul for it. If you sin, your soul is what is going to be paying for it. And he would have his lust. You know, people go to the Army, Navy, Marines, and they get into the international Army, Navy, Marines, whatever. And their lust is satisfied. Satanic people will have their lust. Okay, we have some letters. And what's the first one? Where's the first one from, please?
From Farmington, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Tony Alamo, I send this card to you in friendship because you are special to me. I never thought I'd have a friend as good and as important as you. I pray for you and your family every day. I am pleased to know that you are out there doing God's work. All that I can say is thank you, God, for putting Tony Alamo in my life. It has really made a big difference. You might not realize it, but you have helped me make it through a rough time in my life and through this bit of time I'm having to do. Thank you for all the help you have given me. Maybe someday I will be able to repay you for your kindness. I hope you and your family will be together for Christmas. I hope and pray that life treats you good and nothing bad happens to you and yours. God bless you and your family and all the brothers and sisters in your church. Your friend, yours truly, Robert, from Farmington, Missouri.
Oh, right. And what else do you have? Praise the Lord for you, Robert.
From Kumasi, Ghana. Dear Pastor Alamo, I am very excited to write you this letter. I hope by the grace of God that you are fine. I'm happy to tell you that I have already become a servant of God through your gospel literature, which I regularly get. I thank you very much for the parcel you sent me with a good amount of literature for distribution. I thank you for your support of sending me your newsletters because they are really inspiring. I can never stop reading them until I have finished reading the entire newsletter. Moreover, I enjoy reading them because the more I read them, the more I understand the word of the Almighty God, and they have strengthened me to give my life to God. I have organized a small fellowship, but we need a Bible with both the New and Old Testaments. I always give the members copies of every newsletter I get that is written by you. I do it with great pleasure because they have also given their lives to God, and they are very interested in the newsletters. We are all saved souls. We were lost but are now found. I thank you very much for accepting me into the family of Christians. May the Lord richly bless your ministry. Yours sincerely, Amma from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, I was reading the scriptures the other day, and Jesus, this leper came to him and said, Lord, heal me. And he told the leper, his white as snow, he says, I will, be thou healed. And the leprosy went right away, and his skin was just like the skin of a baby. And so the Lord, you have to have faith in the things that when you pray for somebody and they get healed. The Lord didn't even blink an eye. He just said, now go to the priest and show them what the Lord, what God has done for you, and give the sacrifice that Moses has instructed for you to do. So Jesus really knew, he really believed that the man was healed. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be saying, okay, now do all this. Because if the man really wasn't healed, then he'd think that Jesus was a phony. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus, that really just got me, because there's so many things that the Lord has shown me. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to have signs and wonders and visions and dreams, but I had them, and I had quite a few of them, and I know that I had them, and that's why I reckon I've got so much faith. Now, the Lord, he says that blessed is he that has not seen visions, dreams, signs, and wonders, even though God has promised them to young men, and I would see visions, and old men would dream dreams. I saw the dreams and the visions when I was young. And it just gives me so much faith when I see scriptures like that. Some people just ride over that as though it's not anything, but just the faith that Jesus had was incredible, where he just says, I will be healed. And the man was instantly healed. And then he said, now go tell the priest. So a lot of people say, oh, be healed, and everything. And then they have him run up and down the aisles and things like that. And the next day they collapse on the floor. They don't say, you know, now do this or that. I know that I've seen so many healings, but back then you had to go to the priest, and the priest wanted to really verify that you were healed, because they didn't like Jesus at all. And so he sent them to the priest to show him the mighty thing that God had done. He had healed something that could not be healed by any doctors back then. And then he told them to go and show that you were healed, because they had to be pronounced with leprosy. Amen? Yeah. And that way they had to go outside the camp. They were not able to come in. They had to ring little bells saying, I'm a leper, I'm a leper. And so when they were got healed, if the Lord ever healed them, then they had to go and show the priest, and then they had to bring in these different sacrifices and go through this ritual. And those priests, especially the high priest and all the others that were in the Levitical priesthood, would just really examine the person and try to prove them wrong, because they were going to turn loose somebody that had leprosy among all the other followers. And Jesus said, go and show them, okay? Go show them, okay? They're from Missouri. That's the show me state, right? You got to show me. And so he went over there and showed them. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's just somehow that scripture got me the other day. I was just listening to the Bible, and I got it that way. Now then, Satan is always tempting people to sin by the example of others. You want to know what that means? That means that you see somebody sinning, and you like to follow example if it's a sin that you like. You can see that the whole world is following after the example of the different things that they see on television. It's like I've said before, I saw a cartoon one time of a guy who was in a Dillinger movie, and he comes out of the movie, and he's got his collar up and his hat down and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, because he saw the example of Dillinger in there, and when he came out of there, he was Dillinger. And that's the same thing that the people see all this violence on television today, where people are just getting ticked off at somebody, and they pull a gun out and shoot him in the chest and in the head, and they just take a gun and blow their brains out. And then people wonder, why these young people are going into schools and killing their school chums, and they're just walking into different areas and blowing people up. And it's very exciting. The movie industry makes that. And of course, not only are they Dillinger now, they're public enemy number, every kind of enemy. And they're the Green Berets, where they blow people up and so on and so forth. So Satan always is always tempting people to sin by the example of others. This is the third example that I'm going to teach you. Maybe it is that you are tempted to sin by the example of others. Do you do that? Do you see people fornicating everywhere? You see all kinds of pornography, and it makes you want to go out and sin and commit adultery. Well, it's Satan that is always tempting you to do so, to sin, by copying the example of others. It's for sure the example be an inartificial argument. It's inartificial. It seems artificial, but it's not. It's real, George. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Yet it is so great of a force. It's a tremendous force and power because you can see the whole world going after pornography and violence. Amen?
Yeah.
And you see the mob or the great bunch of people that are doing the evils in this world today, are they following the example of the people that are starting war? And the media gets on and starts brainwashing or dirtying people to where they believe that it's an okay thing to do. But we're going to read some scriptures from the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew and show you this is the right way to live. Not by following the example of sweaty, stinky people, but to follow the example of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, now this is Jesus speaking. This is the Beatitudes where he's up on the mountain and teaching all this multitude of people up there and his disciples of what's right, the right thing to do and not the wrong thing. Go ahead. What verse are you on?
13.
Okay, let's read it.
Ye are the salt of the earth.
But yes, if you're keeping my example, if you're not following the example of others, if you're not following the example of others, Satan is always tempting people to sin by the example of other people. But you are the salt of the earth if you follow what I, Jesus, say. Now, I hear these, I just was curious because I don't really get into politics, but I heard all these presidents, or some boy that got up and says, I want to ask all you people that are running for president of the United States, one thing I want to ask you, do you believe in this book? And he shoved the Holy Bible right up on the screen to him. And some of them said, well, you know, and one of them says, yeah, I believe it's the Word of God. But that not all of it is right. Look, if it's the Word of God, everything in there is right. Amen?
Amen.
Because how can you get any better teacher than God himself? Amen?
Amen?
The Word of God is pure and clean. And the Bible tells us that we're to fear God, not people. Amen? We're not to follow the example of people because the Bible says that all people are corrupt. Amen? From the top of their feet to the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Okay, and what else here?
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor...
But in other words, if you start following people rather than me, then what?
Wherewith shall it be salted?
Where are you going to be an example to everybody in the world if you're just like them? Amen?
Amen.
Corrupt. Sinners. Filthy. Degenerate. Full of corruption. Liars. That's all you are. It's a liar. So if you, the salt has done what?
Lost his savor.
If the salt has lost his savor, in other words, if there's no more Jesus in you, if you're not keeping the example of Jesus, but following after the example of other people, then you're just like the other people because you're copying people rather than Jesus. So maybe it is that you are tempted to sin by the examples of others. Is this true? Well, we know it is because the whole world is a-sinning, aren't they?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
And you think that there's no retribution for it, that there's not going to be any judgment for it. But you'll soon see, because life goes by very fast and nobody knows. There isn't anyone that knows one day from the next that you're going to go out and meet the Lord. Now, this is the Lord talking. Continue on, please.
Wherewith shall it be salted?
Read it again.
But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
Yeah, so if you lose the example of Jesus, if you're not an example of Jesus, then how are you going to salt the people in the earth that are all the same, that they're following one another rather than Jesus? no one is going to be convicted of their sins because they're all sinners. And we have to become, the Bible says that we must become sons of God. We must become one in Jesus. He's the head, and all of us as a corporate body are one with the head, which is Christ. We become the body of Christ. Okay, so that takes, in other words, you have to see the example of some people that really have salt in them. They have Jesus in them. He is the salt of the earth. He's the light of the world. Amen?
Amen.
And so if we receive that saltiness, in other words, we're not like people, other people, and we're condemned for being like Jesus. They say, oh, you're not like the rest of us. So we are angry with you because you think you're something. Yes, I believe that I'm a born of the Spirit Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I am the salt of the earth, and I am one of the lights in this world to shine the true walk of the Lord. You can't get convince me to sin, because it is for my very life that I become the salt of the earth and the light of this world. Now go ahead, keep going.
It is thenceforth good for nothing.
Yeah, in other words, you have no salt in you, so therefore you're good for nothing. And I didn't say Jesus is saying this. We're reading from the Bible, folks. Amen?
Amen.
You're nothing, in other words. You're just like all the rest of the bums, the satanic people that are going to hell because there's no light of God in them, and there's, that means there's no salt in there. They don't go against the grain. Like, there's nothing worse than a bland bowl of soup with no salt in it. Amen?
Amen.
You've got this Progresso soup that's low sodium. Well, I want salt in my soup. Amen?
Amen.
Low sodium. Why bother if it's not going to taste good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why bother if you're going to try to get people to join the Lord, His body, and you're just like them? You're not going to get anybody to do anything but to just follow your rotten, filthy, stinking, sweaty people example. It's for sure. Though example, be an artificial argument, yet it is of great force or power with many. And we know there's a lot of power and force to the examples that the media is shining this darkness into everybody's heart. I mean, you just you see all these kids knifing each other, and you see people, and that so the government is saying, well, we're going to fix this, so we'll come in with, if you don't do good, if you don't do what we say, then we're going to throw you in jail or in prison. Okay, now most people don't realize that this is happening to them, especially when the persons quoted, they keep quoting in favor of a sin. If they be either what you consider to be the most or the best type of sin, what do you enjoy? What sin do you enjoy? They're talking about my demons. Like, in other words, they're proud that they've got demons today. Amen. So everybody's now saying, well, my demon is this and my demon is that. You're like a bunch of monkeys. Monkey see, monkey do. But, you know, wait till the time of judgment and you're not going to be happy because you followed some monkey. All right? So, to be the best type of sin and the best and the most type of a person that sins, I just want to find the person that's sinning the most. I want to see what sin I would enjoy the most in order to, if there is a hell, of course I'll go there, but I really don't believe it because some people on television say there's no such thing, and so I'm going to follow their example. And that way, if there is a God and I get before his throne, then I'll just say, well, Lord, you know, I saw that happening on earth, and everybody was doing it. Everybody's having illicit sex. They were all murdering little babies and so on, and I thought I could do it. And so I instructed my girlfriend to get an abortion. First, you were fornicating, which sends people's souls to hell, or you were committing adultery because you were married and you went and committed adultery because everybody else is doing it. So most what they do is carry presently with them those that are false-hearted or weak-headed. They're like dopes. That's why the government, this international government, imported all kinds of narcotics and drugs into this country. So they'd make you people dopey out there. You've been bragging about snorting cocaine and heroin, crack, all this sort of stuff. Just like so many dead fish and little light straws that swim with the stream of which such shame strikes the greatest stroke. Wow, we're just going downstream. If we run into this kind of sin, and, we go into one sin, and the next sin, we can swallow all kinds of sins because we've broken the entire law. And my attitude is, who's going to know if I'm lying or telling the truth? Because I do that in secret, and they never think that God is looking in secret. And a multitude, an entire company that bears a sin, takes away the shame of it. The more people you see sinning and you go along with, then there's no more shame of it. People are using all kinds of four-letter words on television. And, I mean, they use every filthy word there is, and now nobody pays any attention to it, because when you're surrounded by sin, it doesn't seem so sinful anymore. Because you're following... the devil is using these people to lead you into sin by following the example of others. In other words, the more people that do it, that do the sin that you're influenced by and tempted away by it, wherever everyone goes naked, there are very few people that will blush. They have nudist colonies. They walk around, you know. I'm heard. Bare naked. And nobody blushes or anything, you know. It's just, well, you know, the Lord made us naked. Yes, but after sin, the Lord said to cover yourself up. Because now you know every kind of sin. And now you're not supposed to, walk around naked, because that will bring much lust into you, and you will not be able to cope with it. You must have the Lord in you in order to be able to overcome that sin, and all the sins of homosexuality and everything else. They have some places in the world where everyone goes naked, and no one blushes at all. They rather are exposed to shame only when it will be a singular act. Like, the only way you'd be shamed would be as if you, by yourself, were bare naked and you were walking down Broadway in New York during the rush hour. Then maybe some people would blush today, but there's a lot of people that probably wouldn't. Because sin is so prevalent, it doesn't seem sinful at all, but nakedness is sinful. Alright? Why? Because the Lord is the one that made the coats for the Adam and Eve. And not to do as the rest. So it's If you're just a single person doing it and you're not doing it with the rest, you're going to blush. Amen? Mm-hmm. Or you're going to hide yourself, at least, you know, if you got any scruples in you whatsoever, you would. In other words, if you were a person that didn't go along with the entire town or beach, then you would not go along with the rest. You wouldn't partake in it. Any more than most people would go out and take out a gun, go into a nursery where a baby's just born and shoot it, and go down the line and shoot all the babies. But they do it with a knife. Anything that is conceived in the womb is a child. It's a living being. It's a human being. And these people running for president says, well, I would make it a state issue. I wouldn't, as a president of the United States, I would not tell people there's no such thing as abortion. Abortion, if it's going to kill the mother, well, then, of course, that's a different story. But they're getting aborted because they want to have sex, free sex, illicit sex, sex that will take their souls to hell. But they don't want to hear about hell. I mean, nobody says that anymore. It's on television that there's no such place. But God, the Lord, says there is. As Micaiah, who was made a scorn because he wouldn't beat his drum to Ahab's ear. He wouldn't do what Ahab wanted him to do, nor join with the entire gang that followed Ahab. Those that flattered him, his chaplains in their judgments. But if they are such who have the reputation for wisdom and piety, that often times proves a snare to them that are none of those that are of the worst. They don't belong to the same crowd, which should make everyone, no matter who in this world of such a high stature or place or eminent power, very circumspect what opinion or practice they espouse. The devil brags very much when he can get such to set their hand to his testimonial. The devil brags when he can get you, when he can lure you into doing, following the example of people. The country will soon ring of this. Well, let's hear from the Lord here in the fifth chapter of Matthew. Go ahead.
It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of
right.
men.
Right. So that's what it is. These examples that I'm giving you here, you're good for nothing if you follow the example of people. You become good for nothing. That's zero. And you're going to be trampled underfoot by people and eventually spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Yeah, if you've really got the light of God in you, if Jesus, the light of the world, is in you, and you are not with some hidden sin, you think because of the fact that you go into the back room someplace and you're sinning, and that you know that people can't see you, but you don't even believe that God sees everything that we do. It's all recorded. Everybody will know it. God knows it. And their example will be shown everywhere to draw in others. That's what people are doing today. If you want to know what's happening today, read the Bible. You're following the example of the Antichrist and all the Antichrist people that are in the body of Antichrist. Okay, what else?
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick.
No, if you've got something, like for instance these Vaticanites, if they're not ashamed of being Catholics, Vaticanites, murderers, why don't they come out and say it? But they hide it under a basket. They don't have any light. That all that's in them, the Lord said, is darkness. There's no light in them at all. Then what?
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Right. Men of the Lord do that. And then what?
Let your light so shine...
And read what verses you're on, please.
Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men.
Yes. Come out of the dark and let the light of God flood your spirit and stop following others, because if you're following others, there's no example of Christ in you. And you're not a witness for the Lord at all. But you're a witness for the devil. Then what?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Right. Okay, so don't follow the example of others. Follow, read the word and do what it says so that you can be an example of the Lord, not of everybody in this world. Because everybody in this world, the Bible says that the entire world is deceived. And if they're deceived, it's like Eve told Adam, you know, or Adam told God, my wife gave me to eat. Well, she took the fruit, but he took the fruit from her and ate it, so they both fall into the same condemnation, the same judgment, because he followed the example of her rather than listening to God as to what he said. Amen?
Amen.
His direction was don't eat from that tree. A lot of people say that it was an apple, but the Bible doesn't say it was an apple. It says the fruit of that tree. But you're supposed to eat from the tree of the not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the tree of life, which is Christ, the Word of God. Then what?
Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets.
Ah! Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets in the Old Testament, because that's the only Bible they had back then. Amen? I was watching this program, Ask the Pastor. Read that again, last one.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
The Lord came and fulfilled the law and even magnified it. Go ahead.
Verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Right. Not only teach them, but do them. Okay, because you're a hypocrite if you teach people to do something and then you do something else. All right, so if you are doing what everybody else is doing, you're drawing them in, into Satan. Why such a one as this is of this same opinion? There's only one opinion, and that's the Lord's, all right? There's no private interpretation of the Bible. It means exactly what it says. And I see this program, Ask the Pastor, and they're always saying, well, the way I interpret it, there's no private interpretation of the Bible. They miss so much. And all the people in the world are of one opinion, or they all have the opinion it's all right to sin, but every one of them has different lusts. Different sins. And when they have the lusts and the sins, it doesn't matter which one they choose. If they choose one, they've broken all the commandments of the Lord. He holds this and does that. That's what they do. They hold thee to those sins, and they do those sins. And I would say, I hope that this is one that you reverence and honor, because you reverence and honor Satan when you are following others. I hope that you do that because you made yourself trash. So if that be the case, the thing that you're supposed to do is consult with the Lord, and it will bring you off of this temptation of yours. Because the Word commands that we bring the examples of man, be they who they will, to the test of the Word. If you think that people are telling you the truth and it's just people, put what they're saying for you to do to the test of the Word. The Bible commands us to be very diligent and vigilant in checking everything out, everything that people are doing. We read the Word. We test their example with the Word. The test is of the Word. It is proper to test. He says that you've tested those people that say that they're apostles, and you've found that they are not, but they are liars. Amen?
Amen.
They're liars, because the Lord doesn't mind, as a matter of fact, if we check people out. He said he wants to, but you check them out by the Word of God. Then the people say, well, you're judging us. Well, I am, yes, by the Word of God, though. It's not my judgment, it's God's judgment. And God's judgment is true. There's no other way to test it other than by God's Word. Is it their opinion that is quoted in the Word of God? You check it out. What people are telling you, is that in the Word of God? No, it's not. Amen?
Amen.
It's not. God's Word is not their opinion. Quote, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to the Word, it is because there is no light in them. These people, there's no light in them because they do not speak according to the Word. That's Isaiah 8:20, and therefore you should not follow them because they're bad. Very so, it's not just a bad example, but they're leading your soul to hell. It is the light, the Word of God, which man carries in his lantern or lamp, for which we follow him. If somebody isn't carrying the lamp or the lantern, the Word of God, the light of the world, I'm not going to follow them. Amen?
Amen?
If a person is preaching the Word of God, then they're a light or a lantern or a lamp unto us, if they're doing what they're preaching. When the light is gone, I mean, if these people that are carrying lamps or lanterns or the Word of God, and then they stop. If the light is gone, we leave such a person as that. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't see them with a strong light, a lantern, then go. We don't follow people like that. Now, we see by this scripture, he has no light, no lantern, no lamp that has not the Word to vouch for his opinion. If he's telling me something and he doesn't prove it by the Word of God, I don't listen to them. Amen?
Amen.
Because we have to go by what God says. So we have to know what the Word says in order for us to have the right opinion of it. So, though neither one knows whether himself goes, without the Word, we don't know where such a one will go. If the person that's you're following doesn't know the Word, well, then you don't know where they're going to take you, right? No, wrong. You do know. They're going to take you straight into hell. Amen?
Yeah.
Without the word, we don't know where a person that doesn't have a lamp, a light of the word of God, or a lantern, where they're going to lead us. Again, is it at the practice of another that is laid before you that you're supposed to copy? Are you supposed to copy anyone that lays some kind of stupid thing like evolution before you? There is no Bible, there's no Word of God that condones such a thing as that. The Bible says so. To write after that, what does the Word say? Quote, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And that's what everybody's doing today. They're following a multitude to do evil. Exodus 23:2. Examples are not our variety of these different people. So there's such a variety of them, but they're not our variety. So they're not our warranty or guarantee, but precepts. In other words, people are not our warranty. If we want a warranty deed, they have no warranty to show us. They're all the same. But the precepts of God are our warranty, because the Word of God is true. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, read another verse there.
Verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
And the Lord is warning them, don't you follow these Pharisees, these Sadducees, and all these phonies. Because I don't warrant them. My word, they're not doing what the word said. John the Baptist said that they don't. He says, I'm not going to baptize any of you people because you have to bring forth works that the Bible says, and you're not doing it. Bring forth works meet of repentance. Show me that you repented from your filthy sins. He says, I'm not going to dunk you in the water, you bunch of phonies. My time is up. And I don't like to close the program at all unless I invite you. And the Lord is in, you believe the Lord is leading me to lead you to the Lord. I have a lantern here, the Word of God that I've taught you tonight. We read from the Bible, and the Lord says, you must be born again of the Spirit and water. And you know the Spirit will enter into you the minute you say this prayer. So say it right now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. You will not turn me away. You will save my soul. Because you said, everyone that comes unto you and calls upon your name, that you will never turn away. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know you have answered me. I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, just keep praising the Lord, too. And Sharon, tell them several ways how to receive a copy of this program, number 494, CD or audio tape.
Go to AlamoMinistries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And make sure you tune in tomorrow for another message that these are stepping stones up to the kingdom of heaven. Now here I am to saying how long has it been. And this time for sure, is with J.D. Sumner in the Stamps Quartet.
How long has it been? since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secret. How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden?
And you called him your friend. How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord of heaven?
How long since you knew that he answered you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and prayed that the day? Has it been
since you knew?